Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that this world has gone mad. And I know that every generation since Noah has said that things just can't get worse and that every succeeding generation has just tried to prove them wrong. And yesterday's insanity becomes today's normal at a quicker and quicker pace, and the typhoon just keeps spinning tighter and tighter, and poor souls keep getting sucked down into it. And we want to know where will it end, and we want to know when will it end. When will God finally say enough and turn his back and walk away and leave us without hope? Because that's what I would do if I were God. But thankfully, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours, declares the Lord. And so it is that today we find God not washing his hands in disgust with our insanity, but chartering a boat and sailing right into it. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. The Gerasenes are opposite Galilee geographically. It's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee from Israel. But even more opposite Galilee, the Gerasenes are religiously opposite from Israel. In Galilee, the people there are God's people, which doesn't mean that they're perfect, it doesn't mean that they're without sin, but it means that they've got God's word. And there's a remnant there, small remnant, but a remnant nonetheless, who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience, which means that the devil has got to dress up in sheep's clothing in order to do his dirty work. But opposite Galilee, such is not the case. God's word has either never been sowed there, or it's been sowed and it's fallen on bad soil. And so the devil is free to work in the open, without disguise, and his demons possess whom they will. And all of the guards and the shackles and the chains that we put on each other and on ourselves to keep the devil from getting at us and his demons from getting at us are like a spider's web to a freight train. So the Gerasenes is the last place that you'd expect that Jesus would want to go. It's like going to Tampa in July. It's just not safe. Why waste your time there, Jesus? But as I said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Jesus has a mission here, one that has been prescribed for him by the prophet Isaiah long before. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. When the pilgrims crossed the sea to come to America, they did so to bring the gospel to a heathen land, among other reasons. And sometimes they were welcomed, and sometimes they were not. As Jesus steps onto the Gerasene shore, he is clearly not welcomed. when Jesus stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes and had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. The man is clearly insane. And Luke tells us the cause of his insanity. He had demons. All the counseling in the world isn't going to help this man, because the demons had possessed this man and the man couldn't shake them. The way we say it is, the man had demons. But what Luke really means here is the demons had this man. He was possessed. What happens next is just a bit tricky to navigate. When he saw Jesus, he fell and he fell down and before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." So it's not completely clear here just who it is who's speaking this. Is it the demon or is it the man? If it's the demon who's speaking, "What have you to do with me?" The answer is, "I have come to destroy you. That's why I'm here. I've come to cast you into the abyss where I myself will shortly descend to proclaim to you in a loud voice that I've just crushed the head of your master and you are without power and you shall suffer eternally for all the suffering you have inflicted." And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. And they begged him to enter a herd of pigs, and he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits possessed the unclean animals, and they both drowned themselves in the lake. Literally, they choked in the lake, which is the abyss. The point here is that Jesus does not give sanctuary to demons. He does not listen to demons. He does not negotiate with demons. But then if it's the man who asks, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me," because that's all that anyone who has ever come to visit him has come to do. If it's the man who asked Jesus this question, then the answer is, "I have not come to torment you or to add more chains or to bind those shackles tighter on you. I have come to deliver you, and I have come to set you free, and I've come to take your demons away, and I've come to give you your life back again. I have come to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the same for us. Our Lord has come down from heaven, and he has sailed across the baptismal lake to get to you who are born in chains, possessed by devils and demons, destined to live forever in the tomb, the place of death. Jesus has broken the bonds, he's opened the prison, and he set you free. And he has made you his own. In other words, he possesses you, and you are possessed by Jesus Christ. He's given you his name so that you can call upon him. And he's given you his word to use when those demons and devils hassle you and torment you, as they will do throughout your whole life. He has given you his name, the name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, all the demons fall to their knees and start begging. And we should learn how to use this name that Jesus has given us, his own name. We should use the name of Jesus whenever we're attacked and assaulted by the devils and the demons whenever we're attacked and assaulted by our own misplaced, sinful lives, tempted just as Jesus was tempted. We're to use the name of Jesus. He gave it to us. To call upon the name of Jesus is to borrow his power, which is so great that it causes the demons in us to beg that they be sent away from us. In the name of Jesus. In addition to his name, he has given us his word that no devil or demon can stand against, because his word is filled with the very breath of God, which fills the demons with terror, even as it fills you with God's peace. We should use God's word whenever and wherever we are under attack from the demons that would possess us, whom our Lord has already taken possession of. To use the word of God is to tap into the power of God like you plug into an outlet on the wall. To use the word of God is to tap into the power of the risen Jesus Christ, who upholds the universe by the word of his power. To use the word of God, of course, means you got to know the word of God. In order to tap into the word of God, you got to know what the word of God is, which is, by the way, why every Monday morning you get a memory verse for the week in your email. It's there for you to take with you through the week, memorize it. Wherever you go, take the word of God with you and use it. Great power in it. As it turns out, there was an audience that witnessed everything that happened. The herdsmen whose pigs they were responsible for, now all are at the bottom of the sea. And they saw it all happen. And they all fled back into the city, and they told everyone what had happened. And then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Can you imagine their surprise when they found this man sitting at the feet of Jesus like a little kitten lapping up spiritual milk, like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking up every word that comes from his mouth, like a prisoner sentenced to life behind bars, suddenly set free, standing before the one who has paid the price for him to go. He who had been naked and ashamed is now clothed, even as Adam and Eve were naked and ashamed. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. He clothed them in himself. And in his right mind, no longer insane, he is now sane. He knows that this Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, is my Lord and my Savior, who saw me while I was still a long way off, even across the sea, and sailed across it just to set me free from my demons. He came to me to bring me out of the graveyard, where there is nothing but death, to live with him in his heaven, where there is nothing but life. He was in his right mind. But you want to know who's crazy? Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. The same man, the man from whom the demons had gone, begged that he might be with Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. The account opened with concern for the insane man, but now Jesus has turned everything upside down, and the last shall become first, and the first shall become last. All the people beg Jesus to depart from them, and this man begs Jesus to be with him. Here's a man who is in his right mind even while the whole world is gone insane. Jesus sends the rightly minded and clothed man home to declare how much God has done for you. And this is how we bring sanity to a world gone mad. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And then one day, just when you think this world can't get any worse and things can't go madder than they are, our Lord will set sail from the other side, and he will stand upon the earth, and every eye will see him, and he will command his holy angels to cast every demon into the abyss, and the earth will quake at the sound of the slamming of the door over the abyss, never to be opened again. And everyone will be in their right mind. And everyone and everything will declare how much God has done for us.